Hello, I'm Hugo Hoogenberg. So I had mostly a question of clarification. So if I understand the specific causal explanation or the specific cause will exclude all the non-specific ones, but is there a reason to assume in the model that you'll be left with only one specific cause in all cases, or can there be multiple, yeah, like in the case with the firing squad, for example?
I think you might have several, but it would be very exceptional that they are not equivalent. I would really I couldn't think of a case where you have more than one specific, but it's not just renaming the same with different words.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, there logically is no obstacle. It's just that there is no exclusion in terms of truth. Like you can always have several influences running parallel. The exclusion I mentioned is only pragmatic if you look for the best causal explanation. In general, there will not be more than one. But if you have more than one, you might pick which is the best in terms of other criteria, like pragmatics,
yeah,
which sounds nice, or you understand it well, you can use other criteria. But I would think it's rare.
Yeah, because the case that I don't have a good example, I couldn't think of one, so maybe there just isn't, is that you might find a maximally specific physical cause and a maximally specific mental cause, and then you still can't, or you can pick, but probably that's going to need more than pragmatics at that point.
Okay, so to go in your direction and make an objection to myself. So I say you might pick out heat and kinetic energy, or do you pick out things that are equivalent, that are have the same extension, and maybe even more than that, and necessarily have the same extension. So you could still say it's not the same explanation to explain something in terms of heat and explain something in terms of kinetic energy, because some people would understand one explanation and not the other. And so if you get to that point, you see that for explanation, there are lots of criteria which are very important. You must use terms that can be understood by your audience, and it can fit more or less smoothly in the rest of the audience's set of beliefs. And so you would then use other criteria to pick which is the best. But in terms of truth, they would be equivalent.
Thank you.
We see her, but
not for the moment.
Thanks so much, Max. That was super interesting. I had a question about the extent to which the sort of causal network approach really did let you wash your hands of real counterfactuals and possible worlds, if you think those are important to the characterization of real counterfactuals. So one example that Lewis gives to bring out why you need real counterfactuals is what he calls the problem of epiphenomenal causes. So it might be that, you know, I put a quarter in the Coke machine and a light comes on, and then the bottle comes out. And the light coming on to indicate that the quarter's been received isn't really a cause of the Coke coming out. It's like a lagging indicator of the cause. But you could imagine a case where the light was more specific in your terms than, suppose there's two things you could put into the machine, either a quarter or a special token that the machine uses. And either one of those gets you a Coke. And the light comes on if either of those two shows up. So you're not any long. So this is like a non-injective case, because the light is more specific. You don't need either the quarter or the token. Nevertheless, the light is not really the cause. And it seems to me that, and similarly, you could imagine that Sophie was trained to peck either a red triangle or a green triangle, and then we've got some device off to the, someone's off to the side, and if they see it's either a red or a green triangle, they clap their hands. And you know, I'm worried that your account will give the result that it was their clapping their hands that actually causes Sophie to peck, because that's more specific.
Okay, yeah, thank you. You're certainly not doing all the work by itself. That is, introduces a distinction between influence relations that have already been established. This concept of specificity, it can't do the job of distinguishing between spurious correlations or these, how Lewis calls them, epiphenomenal. This must be discovered by experiment, but I think it's a little exaggerated to say that I don't need counterfactuals, because these influences, they are also truth makers of counterfactuals. So they justify counterfactuals. It's just that it's more easy to see how you can evaluate them by observations, and that's just because they are in terms of general variables. So you can run an experiment and do it 10 times, but if you have just particular events and then all the rest is in other possible worlds, it makes it more difficult to conceive what happens when you try to figure out the truth conditions. But to make the distinction between spurious correlations and real causal influences, you have to do experiments. I have nothing original to say about that, but put on the light, influence the light directly without the coins, and you'll see that that wouldn't make the machine work if you manipulate directly the light. So there are these conditions, and it's all worked out by Woodward, and I have nothing to add about that. But you're right that it's not that I seem to exaggerate that if I say that it has nothing to do with counterfactuals. These inference relations correspond to counterfactuals. If I have established an inference relation by running an experiment, then I can justify that if I did one more experiment, I would get this or that result. So it has something to do with counterfactuals. It's just that I think it's good from an epistemic point of view to have an account that gives you a sort of recipe to find the truth conditions, and that's easier to spell out in terms of dependence relations between variables, because that's directly you can translate it directly in a protocol of experiments, which is not so straightforward in terms of possible worlds. Maybe that's the only difference.
But as far as sort of being able to test these things experimentally, it seems like the epiphenomenalist is someone who thinks that the decision to whatever raise your hand is kind of a lagging indicator, just like the light, but with the difference that you can't do the experiment you described, because there's no way to directly get someone to decide something without mucking with their brain.
Yes, exactly. You can make differences only both. You can change a decision only by changing at the same time the brain state, but you can change the brain state without changing the decision, so they are not equivalent. So that justifies why they are two different variables. And then you find that these two variables are not equivalent in terms of experiments, because you can change the brain variable, the value of the brain variable, without changing the value of the decision variable. So that's enough to distinguish them experimentally.
Hi. So I'm not very familiar with the literature, but I was the basic problem you have is when the mental causes the physical, but then I was wondering about do your account extend to how the mental can cause the mental, like in this direction? I was thinking of cases like general panic caused the stock market to go down, something like that. Or, of course, all the cases in which having some information would change, I don't know if it changes your brain state, but it definitely changes your mental life, right? So there's this, I don't know at all if it's relevant to what you've been saying, but I was thinking about it, so maybe you can say something about
this. Yes, thank you. Yes, that's someone had to mention it. Thank you. Yes, of course, it's also perfectly possible to justify purely higher level causal relations, and to my mind, they are. Almost all of science is higher level. So I just talked about this problem of changing the physical state of the world, because that is the way, that is at least one step in the arguments against the possibility of higher level causation. And Jaekwon Kim, when he tries to show that all mental causes are always epiphenomena and never do anything, he proceeds in two steps, and the first step says you cannot have mental-to-mental causation or higher-level-to-higher-level causation except by downward causation.
Right.
And then in the second step, that corresponds more or less to what I have discussed, he shows there can be no downward causation. But in fact, I think it's very important that the whole model can perfectly well represent and experimentally justify the existence of higher level causation between different mental states and between economical variables and in all sciences above fundamental physics. And anyway, it's so very, this exclusion argument, it's so strange, because in the philosophy of physics, most or at least many philosophers of physics say there is no causation in physics, it's all only everywhere else. So these exclusion people, they would say it's only at the physical level. But they say this without having talked to the philosophy of physics people. So this is all very strange. And I think the way out is there's causation everywhere, and most of all at higher levels. And this framework of dependence between variables allows to spell out what it means and to give conditions of finding out whether these claims are true. And the situation I have sketched is really more addressed to philosophers, because no economist would worry about this kind of problem, but philosophers do. So it's an intra-philosophical point, and it's addressed to a philosophical puzzle, but that would not worry empirical scientists working at least outside physics.
Great, thanks.